This is Take Two.
I would like to explain myself. And what I'd like to explain myself is that obviously there wasn't a Thursday episode that came out, but today is Saturday and tomorrow is Sunday. So I'll be uploading the podcast tomorrow on Sunday 23rd. The reason why we're having a solo episode in the studio is because as part of the processes, there was a guest cancellation. Nothing bad about the guest. It's going to happen again. Someone gets sick. And in fairness, we're underground. Like, I'll get sick if the guest is sick. So, yeah, that's okay. It's interesting, though, because I've been doing it for a year and a half now. And before, I'd cancel the booking. But now there is my money on it. Like, now there is, like, a monthly slot. So I was going to lose money. And the solo episode has been on the back of my mind. I've been getting quite a good few questions about, like, when is the solo episode going to happen? So I was like, you know what? Let me just do it. Also, it's interesting because I haven't been feeling too good recently. Just generally. I don't know what it is. I think there is an element of I got two injuries the moment that I started marathon training. And I'm a little bit pissed off about that. So, like, I think it could be, like, physically, the fact that my body isn't moving that much means that I'm not, like, doing well. So I had a week of that. Like, I had 2 weeks of that. So, like, going into next week, obviously, I have to step it up a notch and probably just go back to gym training for a little bit. Has to be done. What can you do? Right now, where I'm at with the podcast, it's my fucking baby, man. I love this shit. I want to do this for the rest of my life. I am not gonna cry. Jesus, honestly, I am probably the most, like, I have toxic masculinity. But I don't know why. Anyways, whatever, fucking daddy issues, who knows? No, I don't have daddy issues. Anyways, this thing, this microphone in my hands, whatever this may be, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, right? And I've been doing it for a year and a half, and I completely understand that this is like a slow, slow burner. And I know that my talent is, like I know I'm talented. I had an interview with Lydia Day Doyle at the beginning of this week. And you'll hear it in the future, but basically she said that I shouldn't have this anger in me as, like, the characteristic that people know me by. And that kind of, like, hit me a little bit, because I know I'm not negative, but I know that a lot of people know me as the seriously silly person. I'm very straight on. And it scares me to think that possibly there could be a form of, like, intimidation and intensity to me that will I'll be shooting myself in the foot one day, career wise, you know, because I don't let on too much, but then when I do let on, it's so I just have to figure this out. But anyways, with the podcast, it's like I'm loving it so much, and I know that the talent is there, but the support is the things that is out of my control. The support is quietly there, and the way the clips, like the way you could market a podcast a year and a half ago, was very different to the way podcasts are clipped now. And it's like the clips that do well are the ones where, like, the comment section just gets out of control in a negative way, where there's drama. And like, so like, I see that formula, and I'm trying to figure out how to use that formula in a positive way. Because I know that, like, when you upset people, that means you're doing something right. Once you get haters, that means you're doing something right. Once you get big, there's always going to be that. You can fucking, like, walk on water or cure cancer, and someone will have a problem with it. So I get that. I understood. I have made peace with that. I understand that my people-pleasing tendencies can't go that fucking far if I want to go far. But the issue is that I feel like the base right now is a little bit fucking... it's a little bit shaky. And it's a little bit negative. The conversations are so fucking positive. But I need to figure out a way in which I can figure the short form content out really well to attract people to go and listen to the long form content one. And it's an interesting space. It's exciting if I want to look at it in a positive way, but I'm also, my brain is blanked. So that's why I'm kind of like sharing this with you, because I feel like, I'm not saying people, but in general, we don't exactly share this struggle and this part of the process and this, like, mental or physical nearly, like, clash. So I was like, you know what, let me just, like, word vomit. Let me pull an Emma Chamberlain. Let me pull a blind boy. And, here I am just sitting on a sofa in a studio in Dublin city centre. Which, in fairness, is quite cool. Like, now that I think about it a little bit, it's like 21-year-old me. Like, I've been... guys, like... sorry, I don't know if it's fucking gender neutral or whatever. People. If I get a fan base, what would they be called? If you were my friend, let me just say this, right? If you were my friend, you would know that I take the piss out of my name like no other, right? So, it's like something that's the best. I make it the best. Or shawsome. The book. The beast. The bitch. I just use my name like that, right? And it's so easy because basically Debbie means the bee. So D-E is just the. So anything with a fucking B that starts with a B, I just put Deb in front of it. It's ridiculous. So maybe that will be the fan base. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ, I'm losing my mind, I think. Anyways, I have no idea if this is going to go up. Okay, so in saying that, with this creative fucking slump and this clash, if we were to pull it back, long story short, right, I have to come to terms with the fact that I do not have the number one podcast in the world right now. But someone does. Someone has the number one podcast in the world. And a lot of podcasters not only want that spot, but are heavily inspired by the person that has that spot. I am heavily inspired by the guy. In fairness, a lot of my conversations are somewhat similar in that I just bring people on that I find cool. It's just interviews. Open. Uncensored. So I asked the ChatGPT to interview me as if it were Joe Rogan. I have no idea how this is gonna go, right? But let's get into it. I poured my heart and soul out into it a little bit just for ChatGPT to understand me. Let's call him Joey. Joey Rogan. So yeah, let's get started. So tell me, Deb, What inspired you to start your podcast in the first place? What inspired me was the fact that I always wanted to create, and I always wanted to be involved in media and in front of the camera and to talk. And just like, strangely enough, I was heavily inspired by like the journalistic side of things without having my education in journalism, and just depending on my curiosity, really. I also am in a relationship, but I had my only circle was her. So I wanted to figure out a way in which I could also find like-minded people and find friends and be inspired and have like a good circle of people around me. So interestingly enough, the podcast was also, dare I say, an excuse to pursue what I loved, but also hopefully find people that will help me create a life that I love. So that would basically be it. Let's tell Joey, okay. That should be the prompt for the next question. Fuck. Something went wrong. Lads. Come on now. Joey. I'll refresh and save the fucking chat. That's also something that's been happening this year, right? I've been having some real issues with technology, in which everything has fucking flopped on me. So yeah. Anyways. How has your experience been interviewing people so far? Have you had any unexpected or particularly memorable moments during the podcasting process? My experience interviewing people so far has been amazing. I feel like I've gotten significantly smarter, genuinely. And that's not saying much, because I don't consider myself a smart person, but I do think that, like, my personality has grown, my confidence has grown in talking to people. I feel like the good sides of me have amplified since starting the podcast. And I've met some really impressive people. So I've learned a shit ton when it comes to seeing what I can do if I dedicate my life to one thing, if that makes sense. Have you had any unexpected or particularly memorable moments during the podcasting process? I think something that was unexpected was about the podcasting process was how much effort goes into it. So when you think about it, it's like, how hard is it to talk to someone? But if you want to do it well, you were to add the preparation to it. So let's say if you're bringing an author on, you're reading their book. If not, you're listening, you're spending hours of your time listening to what other podcasts they've been on, or reading their stuff, whatever it may be, checking their social media out. So you have that. Then you've got the preparation to it. So a lot of you that might not know, obviously this is independently run. That means that a lot of the equipment is mine. Basically, the only thing that has never been mine when it came to recording a podcast is the roof over my head. So I would have to pay for the space. Other than that, I'm not renting anything. Well, I was in the previous place, but that place has discontinued, unfortunately. Hence why we're back to Seinfeld quality, except for this iPhone. So yeah, it's very hard. Editing is a pain in the fucking hole. Hence why we have a podcast on Sunday today, and it's a solo one and not an interview, because I have no idea what the fuck is happening with this file. Basically, long story short, it keeps transferring to 3/4 of the way, although the file is not corrupt itself, so like I can literally watch it. But if I move it from one hard drive to another, it stops at 3.51 gigabytes. If I put it on Premiere Pro, it doesn't export. If I put it on CapCut, it stops at 60%. If I upload it on Google Drive, it stops at 17 minutes left. So there's like the 3/4 mark of something that, yeah. So I don't know what to do. And I didn't give up, but I'm like, I have other podcasts in the bank, in fairness. But it's more just like, I kind of took a backseat and was like, all right, there you go. So, yeah, that's very unexpected. And obviously, I think everyone goes into it going like, holy shit, everyone's gonna fucking think this is the podcast. You know, like, everyone's going to tune in because it's such a good product. It's super competitive, especially with the people that are in the podcast space now. It's very competitive and it's very hard not to compare yourself to other people, if that makes sense. So a lot of the guests that come on are just like, this is really good. Like, I'm like, yeah. But there's a lot of competition. So it's hard to stand out if you're not a great person already. And what I mean by great is, unfortunately, it is just the numbers. It is the popularity and all that. But it's not me being pessimistic about it. I understand that this is part of the process, but that is definitely something that I did not expect. But in fairness, it's better than when I started out. So when I started out, literally when I did not have a podcast episode out, it was very hard to find guests. I had like 600 followers on Instagram. So I've had people say yes. I'd give them my Instagram, you know, if they want to get in touch with me closer to the date rather than email. And then they say no. So that was a little bit tough and memorable. And I do think I'm keeping those kind of like little experiences in my sleeve or up my sleeve moving forward. So yeah, there you go. Let's tell Joey. Okay, go on, give me something that's not fucking podcast related. It did, I spoke too soon. You mentioned that you've been experiencing a creative rut or slump lately. Can you tell me more about what's been going on for you emotionally and mentally during this time? What do you think this is at the root of these feelings, and how have you been trying to work through them? So I've already gone into exactly where I am at. So emotionally and mentally, I think I feel very helpless. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not, like, not give up helpless, but very much like, very confused. I think the correct word is confused, where it's like I feel helpless and I want to, like, I feel kind of like angry, but then also it's like a confusion of just like, come on, like, what can I do? Let's figure it out, you know, because I can only control what, like, I can only act on what I can control. I can't control a TikTok ending up like with like a massive argument. I can't control all these kind of things, and I can't control people's like narrative. But it's like I feel like the weight is on my shoulders when something doesn't go right. I don't feel like a failure, but it feels heavy. It feels like I'm trying to be pulled in a different direction, you know? And so I feel frictiony. That's a word. What do you think this is at the root of these feelings, and how have you been trying to work through them? I don't know if it is jealousy. I feel like jealousy is a very scary feeling to deal with because it's very confrontational, right? So obviously I'm sure people can tell that, like, oh, Debbie, you're comparing yourself to other people. So I do think just naturally we compare ourselves to other people. So like, let's fucking nip that in the bud. Guilty. But so I don't know if it is jealousy. I think sometimes I do get a little bit jealous where like I see a clip similar to mine on a different profile, or the same guest on a different fucking profile, and it's like, how the fuck did you end up on that side of the fucking algorithm where everyone's like, yeehaw, let's go, and then mine is not the case? So I do get a little bit of that kind of like, oh man. So it's like a Debbie Downer party. Oh, that's what I should fuck it. That's what we're going to be called, guys. The Debbie Downers. That's the fan base. No. but yeah. So like, I do feel a little bit of, I do think there is a little bit of that at the root of these feelings. There could be a little bit of impatience. I think the fact that I'm doing this by myself without a mentor or without a team or a group behind me makes it slightly difficult. So I don't have support in that regard, like not even numbers wise, but like, yeah, I don't have a yes team or just a team. I don't have like a good solid like go team. Yeah, fucking hell, I'm onto something, guys. I'm so sorry. How have you been working through them before I type okay? This, I guess. I think I've also just I've tried to keep like showing up, and so like the fact that I'm here is a good thing. The fact that I went to the gym yesterday is a good thing. The fact that I took the dog out on a walk, so like I'm doing the stuff. And I know that this is just part of the process. So I hope that me sharing this helps you, if you're watching or if you're listening, because maybe it makes someone feel a little less alone. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. I still plan on continuing to work hard. The interviews are still going to be fucking happening, and I'm still going to have really good chats, and one day I'll figure out the clips situation. Guys, I think Joey Rogan, he can fucking hear me. It sounds like promoting your podcast on social media has been a challenge for you. Can you tell me more about the specific obstacles you faced in getting your content out there? And what steps are you taking to overcome them? How do you plan to connect with your audience in a more relatable way? So, obviously, editing clips takes a long time. Even if it were the most like simple podcast ever, Q&A, back and forth, clipping takes a long time if you want to get a statement out there with a hook and in an engaging way, and you've got your subtitles. 40-second clip can take you 30 minutes, if not more. And the more effort you put into it, the more. So, like, time is money. And this is still not a money-making machine, so it's out of, like, my pocket. So, obviously, time. And then, if it doesn't go well, it's, like, there's that mental punch that you get as well. I'm okay with it. But, of course, there's still a part of you that hopes to do better. How do I plan to connect with my audience in a more relatable way? I feel like this is getting a little bit repetitive, but I'm enjoying the solo podcast. I'm enjoying this, so probably this, maybe a bit more like personal stories. If you have any idea on or like if you want me to do something podcast related, which is not interview you, because I get a lot of those, send me a message and I'll talk about it. I want you to know that if you're listening to this, I really appreciate it. Like, it fucking means a lot. So I don't want people to think, or like for it to get wrong, that like if you're watching this or whatever, that I don't recognize you at all. It's not that. It's not that at all. I think it's the... I think it's the concept of like working in the dark. And I'm struggling to see the light sometimes. Or to see everything come to fruition. And the reason for that is literally because I don't... Or anyone, no one can see the future. So that's it. I'm struggling a little bit with like positive ideation and manifesting, I guess. Have any of your guests provided perspectives that have particularly stuck with you? or that have challenged your own way of thinking about something. Can you share an example? Yes. I think nearly every single guest has provided me with a new perspective on something, some more than others. And obviously the more recent ones would be like more fresh in my brain. I feel like a lot of people right now are saying that the Connor O'Keefe one is a very impactful one, which is true because it is about becoming your own best friend and treating yourself as if it were, as if you were like your own best friend, really, which is very true. And I guess I have been forgetting that. So sorry, Connor, if you're listening to this. Fuck. I think I need to like write an article on every single episode and like journal it or something to explain like the new perspective that like I get out of it. I think sometimes people just, I think my issue is I feel like no one cares about what I think. So it gets a little bit messy when I start to believe that. So I think Connor O'Keefe is a really good one, becoming your own best friend. The Lydia Day Doyle one is going to be good. I think you're going to see... So today is Saturday. I recorded Lydia's one on Monday. So you're going to see like the vibe and how I'm still on that like little like woo, like I'm riding that wave. Who else? Robbie G. And a note on never giving up. That one. I think bringing Robbie G on was amazing, because the fact that he spoke about like the heightened success that he got, but that he's still living in his like mom's place, is an interesting one. Not that that should be something that you should be ashamed of at all, but it got me understanding that like not everything on, not even that he's not lying on social media, but like, you know, when you see someone that's super successful or selling out arenas, that you expect massive things to be happening behind the scenes. And he kind of just like spoke about it so realistically, and that like, look, it's not the case, you know? So that stuck with me a little bit, where I think I'm I think I'm not doing too well with the gratitude concept. Oh my god, there you go. We have it. Joey Rogan, you fucking fixed me. I need I need to start a gratitude journal. As someone who is still relatively young, thank you, Joey. What advice would you give to others who might be struggling to find their way in life? Or who are still figuring out what they want to do with their time and talents? What have you learned from your own experience that might be helpful for others to hear? Okay, so Joey Rogan is clearly asking me questions that's like fucking 3-sentence ones. What advice would you give to others who might be struggling to find their way in life, or who are still figuring out what they want to do with their time and talents? I say I'm with you, bro. Genuinely. But all jokes aside, I would say try. And try it properly. Give yourself 3 years. And make peace with the fact that it's going to be so hard. And people are not going to believe in you. And that you're going to have to fight. And that you want to avoid being a one-hit wonder so badly. That the growth is going to be slow. Get excited over the little wins. Look forward to the little wins. Identify what these little wins are going to feel like. because the little wins and the short-term goals are closer to the long-term ones, which is so fucking simple to think about. But I think we beat ourselves up. I beat myself up for not achieving my long-term goals yet. If you are still figuring out what you want to do with your time and with your talents, it's gonna sound bad, but fear wasting your time. It's gonna sound negative, but I don't know if I'm coming across right, but it's like, if you're still figuring it out, sitting back and waiting for the idea to come to you is not the correct approach. So trying the different things and doing something is better than doing nothing, because then it will come to you. What have you learned from your own experience that might be helpful for others to hear? At the start of your journey, whatever it may be, don't blindly jump into an opportunity without knowing what fucking pool you're gonna jump into. Don't fear asking questions for your own sake. Stand up for yourself. I'm gonna tell you a little story. So this isn't something that I exactly shared, but like growing up, praise wasn't a thing for me anyways. Or what I classified as praise, or what felt like praise to me, barely happened. Except for massive success in sports or school. Sports came first to me. School came second after I couldn't do sports anymore. Once I became like a young adult, so like when, like in my late teens, we're talking like 16 onwards. Any moment that I received like praise from someone, it really meant a lot to me, and I would act on it quite a bit. So if someone told me that I was funny, it would make me happy, but then I would be extra funny or be extra sarcastic. So any compliment, I would do it. I would do it. And when I was 18 or 19, there was this like group that I was associated with, like some like university organization or something. And this girl that was like on top of the volunteers had popped up on my messenger going like, "Oh hey, like great stuff in the meeting. We're doing the rounds to see who can like have the next position. I think that you should really do it. Like, I think you should apply because I think you'll be like good at this role." Now, I had no interest and no desire, and I wasn't going to, just because I wasn't interested in it. The moment that she said that that she thought that I would be really good at it, my first response was, "Really? Like, do you really think so?" And she was like, "Yeah." So I applied. I came to find out before the interview happened, as I met another interviewee, that she sent that message to everyone. Copied and pasted. I'm going to pause this right there and mention that the reason why she sent out the copy and paste messages was so that she could impress her higher-ups in showing them that like she encouraged people to sign up to do the interview, rather than just have two people, just so that there's a little bit of a choice. I'm sure you understand. Carry on with the conversation. There were two roles to fill. Three acted on it. And I was the dumbass that had no desire to be there, that fucking went there just because I got a fucking compliment. Obviously, I didn't do well in the interview because I went into full self-sabotage mode. Literally full on. Despite that, I was still like, "Oh, maybe I'll get it, you know? Like, there's three of us. There's two roles." And of course, I didn't get it. She probably doesn't know this, you know, that I knew that. But then I received a message from her being like, "Hey, you want to meet up so that we can discuss that?" And I was like, "No, I know what I did wrong, like, I'm out. And then I never just showed up again. Obviously, there was massive embarrassment there. But that changed me, because in that moment then, I was like, fuck what everyone says. Does that make sense? So now there is, like, I depend more on my belief than I do others. But the issue then with me is that I struggle with that self-belief, because my confidence has only come through since starting the podcast out, which is in November of 21. So I still have a very long journey ahead. Where I'm going with this is, only count on what you have to say about yourself. Don't act on what other people say or encourage you to do, because you do not know their intentions. If this is your partner, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your mom, your dad, if you know them, like properly fucking know them, and they have your safety at heart, that's a completely different story. That goes with romantic relationships as well. The fact that you're romantically fucking in a relationship with someone does not mean that they have the fucking, like, they want what's best for you. Be smart with the people that you share your fucking hopes and dreams. You mentioned that you've been living in Ireland for almost 5 years now. How has your experience been living in a new country? And what have you learned about yourself and others as a result of this experience? Has it influenced the way you approach your podcasting work in any way? My experience has been the only one I know. It felt normal, because back home it didn't feel normal to me to be back home. Ever since I was a child. It's very difficult. So I feel like Ireland started to feel like a home the moment that I got my cat, and felt even more at home the moment that I got a dog. I think there's two things left to the story for Ireland to feel like home to me. Get a car so that I get my independence and I can, like, properly enjoy the country, because Jesus Christ, it's been nearly 5 years now and I have not traveled that far. And then obviously get a house, but that obviously is fucking further down the road. It's been good. I do miss the Maltese. I really miss Maltese food. I miss Maltese food like no fucking other. In saying that though, the move to Dublin has been super helpful, because there's Turkish shops and there's Brazilian shops, and like all these snack places are popping up left, right and center. So there's something that's like closer-ish. If there's any Maltese people that are listening to this podcast, could you, like, that live in Ireland, could you move to Dublin first and foremost, and could you start a business with Maltese snacks? Because I'm struggling. And I do think that the Irish population would really fucking appreciate a good pastitz. Not joking. Genuinely, now let me explain to you what a pastitz is, right? Or pastitzi, whatever. So, a pastitz kind of looks like a vulva. It's fucking that. It's basically puff pastry, and then it's either like filled in with ricotta or pea filling. Now the pea filling would be more like closed rather than looking like a full-on like crotch. Really fucking good. The prices used to go from like fucking 30 cents back home, now they're at around a euro, but I do think that they deserve a good spot in a Spar or a Centra. I am not joking. You know what Spar and Centra also need? Arancini. They're Sicilian. They're like very popular back home. You guys need a good fucking arancina. And you know what Spar and Centra need? Pizza slices. Thank you. I have so many things if I were fucking Irish president. I would legalize cannabis. I would add these things to the menu at Spar and Centra. Rental homes would need to all be pet friendly. It will basically be a dictatorship, but a good one. I'm pretty sure that every single dictator feels like they're doing something good. I wonder if dictators feel like they do something, that what they're doing is bad. Probably they are. I don't know, man. The delusion of some fucking people is ridiculous. What else would I do as Taoiseach? Irish people can respond to this, but like, if you have a female prime minister, would she be Taoiseach or Taoiseach? I don't know. Is there an Irish word for it? Like, is there a difference? But anyways, I don't know what else I'll do. But my experience has been good. There's ups and downs, you know. Sometimes you literally just want to like pack your suitcase and go to a sunnier country. Obviously, I've lived in Ireland 4 or 5 years and I've swam twice. Biggest shock to me ever was when my tan completely disappeared to the point that my butt cheeks and my thighs were the exact same color. So basically, back home you have a tan, like you don't have a tan year round, you get a little bit paler, but your suntan with your swimsuit kind of stays. Does that make sense? Because you're swimming from like September. No, you're swimming from maybe like April, May, all the way to September, and then you get really dark. So then it kind of like stays around. And lo and behold, my body is just one color now. And I miss my butt cheeks being white and my thighs being brown. But what can you do? I don't know what the fuck I've learned about myself. I think what I've learned is that when there's a will, there's a way. And the moment that I can pinpoint something, I can strategize a certain way in which I can like get somewhere. So I used my education as a way to leave Malta and live in a foreign country. Ireland wasn't exactly in the picture. I didn't have any other idea except like not Malta. So like sometimes when you know what you don't want to do, it's easier to pinpoint what you want to do. I don't know if in regards to others, I don't exactly have any comment about that, because it's really just fucking up to you. Like, go to Australia. Whoever I've seen that has moved to Australia has amazing Instagram stories, but I'm sure that there are struggles in that. I think the one piece of advice that I can give you is the moment that you move from one country to another, your problems will travel with you. So moving away isn't going to solve shit. And sometimes it's even harder, because then it's embarrassing to admit to yourself and to the people around you. And people stay in that foreign country rather than moving back out of sheer stubbornness. So be mindful of that. Has it influenced the way you approach your podcasting work in any way? Not exactly, other than the fact that I am interviewing Irish people. Maltese and Irish people were very similar. We have fucking notions everywhere we go. Mental health is shite. And we're good people. So like, we have a lot of heart. There you go, something positive. I'm curious to know, Deb. Tell me, Joey. What are some of the biggest challenges you faced while hosting your podcast, and how have you overcome them? Do you have any advice for others who might be interested in starting their own podcast but are hesitant to take the plunge? The biggest challenge I've faced is becoming someone outside of the podcast once I started the podcast, and that is something that I'm still facing till this day. What I mean by that is, whenever I am asked to go on another podcast, the one thing that people ask me about is this. There isn't that much more to me that I am giving out or giving away, which is something that I'm working on, hence this. I think there's an element of that challenge in figuring out who you are and documenting it in such a way. And I am very excited to release this, because I do think that I feel like this is therapy, honestly. And my bottle fell. Maybe it's a fucking sign. Do you guys believe in omens? Good omens and bad omens? I've been getting a lot of bad omens. I've been getting a lot of stuff that could be an omen. But no person has shown up with fucking crystals in their coat telling me that this is a bad omen or a good omen. But yeah. How have I overcome them? I don't think I have overcome them yet, and that's okay. It's just part of the process, and I think it's just, this is my strategy, it's just generally face my decisions head on and keep moving forward and fucking have some trust and faith in future Debbie or Deb that she's gonna deal with it, because she always has. I'm hungry. Do you have any advice for others who might be interested in starting their own podcast but are hesitant to take the plunge? I'd say start it and do it. Figure out what is going to be the differentiating factor between your podcast and someone else's. Of course, every conversation is going to be different because we're all different, and it all creates something like beautiful on the internet to document. But I say take inspiration from other podcasters, but don't copy them. I've seen quite a few shows that are somewhat similar in the questions that they ask. So unless you're genuinely curious about other people and about the space itself. What I mean by that is like getting intimate with like the fucking equipment and understanding that sort of stuff. Maybe podcasting might not be for you, but maybe something else would be for you, such as street interviews, such as interviewing your friends instead in a more like relaxed setting, like with this phone and microphone, you know? So there are different formats in which podcasts can like open up to, and maybe even short form content in the podcasting space. So don't throw yourself into the 1 hour, 2 hour ones unless you are ready to like ride the burnout wave and also ride like the highs and the lows of it. But other than that, I say do it. Like if this is what you want to do, like fucking make it happen. How do you measure the success of your podcast, and what goals do you have for in the future? So obviously right now the way I measure the success of my podcast would be through the analytics. The numbers are there for a reason, so there is that aspect to it. I also go personally by how did I feel. Like I'm editing the podcast, so I can like be like, oh, this is a good one. This is a fucking 3 out of 5. This one's a fucking 5-star. So I also measure it in regards to like, how much fun did I have? Like, was it a successful one for me? Am I excited to release it? What goals do I have for it in the future? So growing it to a point where it can financially support me in such a way where the one thing that I am concerned with is, who is my next guest? How do I prepare the fucking best way like for it? How do I entertain the viewer or the listener to the best of my ability? How can, like, that my one focus is on having these amazing conversations and being the best host and the best presenter that I could be and the best interviewer that I could be. So that's how I see it. In terms of more like tangible ones, again, I'd love to do a live podcast. I'd love to do it. At this stage though, I don't know if people will buy tickets for it, because it is like, it's growing. Like I'm not at like 10 listeners. There's more to it. But I don't know if there's that massive like scale of popularity yet where I can sell out a spot. And I don't know if I can financially support a live podcast by myself either. Does that make sense? Like, to do it independently. Do you see yourself continuing to host the podcast for years to come? Or is it a more of a, or is it more of a short-term project for you? This is going to be with me for the rest of my life. I am going to keep talking to people, and I'm going to keep fucking learning, and I'm going to keep documenting this. If no one listens at the end of the day, and like, I do think that if something were to go from the podcast, it would be me marketing it. Like, genuinely, I'll just be having these interviews, fucking putting them up, photo, that's it, on Instagram. You know, if you want to tune in, but like, I'm gonna keep doing this. It fuels me, it drives me. Oh my god, Joey Rogan is actually fucking slowly closing the conversation. This is amazing. Deb, thank you for sharing your insights and experiences with me today. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience? about your podcast, your journey, or anything else that's been on your mind lately? I'm so sorry. The fact that I had like an hour long conversation with AI is ridiculous. What the fuck? I'm losing my mind. No. I think I am gonna keep Joey Rogan on. Like, this is so much fun. People are probably listening to this and go, Deb, what's wrong with you? But like, this is so cool, isn't it? The fact that I'm just having a good fucking therapy session with Joey Rogan, my ChatGPT robot. AI and humans collide. I say, based on the fact that I had this thought a while ago, and I left it on my notes app, and it took me a while to act on it, you know, because I am also this type of person that, like, I want it to be perfect. I want, like, the place to look nice. I want everything to be quiet. I want this to look like that. You know what I mean? I always overthink stuff to a point of inaction. With that comes slowing myself down. And with that comes me beating myself up for not being at a certain spot, or not doing something, or not getting there, or just self-judgment on that lack of production. The fact that I actually did this, and that something happened where a guest couldn't be here, so I had the opportunity to do a solo podcast, is actually really exciting. And the fact that I sat down, I got Joey Rogan out, and now we're having a good heart-to-heart. So something that I would say about, like, what's on my mind right now, it would be, don't overcomplicate it and do it, and then tweak it accordingly. And the reason why is that that idea could hop onto the next person, and then you'll beat yourself up over not doing it first. So yeah, I think that's all I have for you, and I guess we'll leave it at that. So thank you for listening and or watching. My brother told me that I end the podcast saying listening / watching, which is very true, because I'm talking to you, I'm not typing. So, and watching or watching. Fucking the social media links are wherever you need them. And if you're going through something, just like message me. And if you've stuck this far, I'm okay. I'm genuinely okay. This is just part of the process, all right? So it could be I know that it's different to what I usually put out, but I think it would be ingenuine and inauthentic of me to not do this. I know for a fact that me tomorrow is going to be shitting her pants uploading it, but like it comes with the struggle and it comes with like putting yourself out there more and all that, but I am okay. So I don't want pity anything. This, I know I made a joke about being a Debbie Downer, but I want this to be positive, all right? So like, I'm okay. I'm just going through it. I'm also turning 26. So it's probably like a fucking birthday crisis. Like, I just want to make sure that I don't cry on my birthday. It's not that it fucking happened often, but like, I fear aging so much because I always had these high expectations of myself. So like, I remember when I was 15, I didn't want to celebrate my birthday because double my age and I was 30. That was it. This is the consciousness that I'm dealing with, if that makes sense. So yeah, I'm all right. I'm all good. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Thank you to Joey Rogan. Thank you to technology and ChatGPT for fucking leading me through this. So fuck yeah, let's go. Bye bye.